everyone. Welcome to episode number 2 of Let's Talk Art. This week, I want to take a look at some of the answers that you posted in your blogs. The first question asks you to consider implied line. When you're thinking about implied line, be sure to specifically point out what lines you see and describe them. Think about where your eye enters the artwork and how your eye moves from point to point. For instance, you might say something like, I enter the painting at the right, where the bright red cloak of the single man catches my eye. From there, I follow the diagonal line of his raised arms to the hilts of the swords. The diagonal angle of the swords leads my eye down to the raised arms of the three men on the left. Notice how in my description, I not only pointed out specifically where I saw the lines, but I noted how I would describe them diagonal, and I also told you how they made my eye move through the composition. To practice color, I gave you John Everett Millais's painting Ophelia, and most of you did a great job discussing color in this painting. A few tips. Make sure you always point out specific elements for this question, specific hues, that you connect to the vocabulary term you are using. If you don't, I have no way to evaluate whether or not you have used the vocabulary term or concept correctly. For example, if you say the hues in this painting are cool, add something along the lines of, such as green, blue, and gray. That way, I don't have to guess at what you are looking at with the term cool. Implied texture is a concept that most students seem to find relatively easy. A few pitfalls to be aware of. Be careful to differentiate between real or actual textures and implied textures. Some of the descriptive adjectives used in the posts, words like rigid, cold, or hard, could be used to describe the real texture of the marble sculpture. The question, though, specifically asks you to address implied textures. For the muscles, you could indicate that they look toned and firm, yet warm like human flesh rather than like stone. On the midterm, I'll be asking you to describe implied textures, not real textures. And don't forget to add in those juicy descriptive adjectives like warm, cold, soft, curly, coarse. If you don't add those adjectives, I won't be able to distinguish whether you are describing the real or actual texture or the implied texture. It can be tricky to talk about implied depth because we naturally want to slip into talking about things that are in the background or are further away. Just keep reminding yourself that in reality, no part of a two-dimensional composition is farther away from us than any other part. Any sense we have of a foreground or a background is an illusion. Your job in this question is to describe how that illusion is created. Basic strategies for communicating depth that almost all painters and drawers use are scale, when objects meant to be closer or larger, such as the mountains in the foreground of the Wang Ming scroll painting, compositional positioning, things meant to be closer to us are near the bottom of the composition, while things meant to be farther away are closer to the center or the top of the composition, and layering or overlapping. In many paintings, there will also be more technical strategies such as atmospheric perspective, linear or isometric perspective, and foreshortening. Be specific in pointing out where you see these techniques when you refer to them. For instance, where do you see an area of the composition or an object that is lighter in value and less distinct in detail to indicate that it is meant to be farther away from the viewer? This is the technique of atmospheric perspective. Or where do you see specific shadows or highlights to indicate volume? The technique of chiaroscuro. The more precise you can be with your answer, the less likely it is that your reader will be uncertain of what you are referencing. Take time to practice with these short answer questions and review your past multiple choice quizzes. Best of luck on the midterm.